Michelle Grattan joins us now. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Michelle, if we can go to other matters before we come to Labor's tax and this whole tax debate that's exploded. The new ministry that Malcolm Turnbull announced over the weekend, a dynamic team, he said, which combines youth, new talent, experience, continuity and a real sense of innovation and enterprise. But I do note that the Prime Minister, his much-trumpeted cities portfolio, has been shifted out of the ministry. It's been given to up-and-comer Angus Taylor, but he's only an assistant minister. Why has that happened?
It's not clear, and it is a bit of an unusual decision, one would think, because certainly Malcolm Turnbull, when he announced his first ministry, talked up the new cities ministry as something that was innovative and important and neglected in the past, and now it certainly has been downgraded. Now, Angus Taylor's regarded as very competent, an up-and-comer in the party. People thought that it was bad that he was overlooked in the first Turnbull ministry, and therefore you can say, well, it's going to someone that is highly valued, but nevertheless an unusual decision to take so quickly.
Another change in the ministry, Matthias Cormann, who's the finance minister, he's going to take on Mal Brough's responsibilities as special minister of state, which means I think he'll be responsible for Senate voting reform, which is all part of a plan, I imagine, to try and clear out the pesky crossbenches. The government's close to clinching a deal with the Greens and Nick Xenophon to do away with group ticket voting. We'll hear more about this over the coming days and weeks, because the government wants this legislation, we hear, by the end of March. What does this tell us about pointing to a double dissolution election?
Clearly the government's keeping all options open on a double dissolution, but I think what this tells us is that whatever sort of election it is, and it still seems more likely Malcolm Turnbull will go full term, that the government wants the Senate voting system in a different form, with less chance of producing a result like last time, which of course came out of an ordinary Senate election. Mm. So while a lot of these crossbenchers of course have 6-year terms, not 3-year terms, nevertheless each Senate election has the potential now to, under the present system, produce the sort of result we saw.
Michelle, just speaking to Chris Bowen there about Labor's new tax policy on negative gearing and capital gains tax, described as a bold policy by many. Property Council and others don't like it too much. $32 billion for the budget bottom line over 10 years from these changes. Negative gearing, it's been a political sacred cow for many years. How risky is this for Labor?
It's undoubtedly risky, and your question showed some of the potential problems and issues that will arise in this debate. Nevertheless, the government's going down the same track of looking at negative gearing and producing different options. So it's going to be a debate, I guess, that is risky for both sides, and it'll get into the ins and outs of the comparative wisdom of one policy versus another. But as Chris Bowen said, you always get, if you try to make reforms in some of these tax areas, you always get threats of campaigns, and Labor needs money. If it's going to fund its health and education initiatives, we haven't seen the health ones yet, but we know the education policy is expensive, the schools policy, the health policy will be expensive, money has to be found, so some risks have to be encountered, I guess.
Yeah, both sides need money to fund what they're going to promise, and it is hard to understand why the master builders, for one, would be so critical of a Labor's plan, which is all about getting new building going, but I guess we'll hear more about that later. Michelle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Michelle Grattan from The Conversation and Canberra University.